So this morning I want to be sharing on the gifts of tongues, and I want to be unpacking what does it mean, how does it look like. I love that we're saying it's the gifts of tongues, like Leonard alluded to last week, that there's these different kinds of tongues. Because sometimes we've been raised in church culture that it's just the gift of tongues, this one thing. Right, and then we often get disillusioned, we struggle to understand, people pray for us, and there's just a lot of confusion with the gifts of tongues that we just get stuck and we rather leave it. Right, I want to answer a couple of questions like, can everyone pray in tongues? Should everyone pray in tongues? What if it's fake? All those types of things. I want to wrestle with it, I want to wrestle through the scriptures with you this morning, and hopefully, I'll try and ground you and show you, man, this is something that God gives us that we should be eager to receive. Right, I'm not going to force anyone to do anything. We don't do that here. We've stopped since last week. No, I'm kidding. You know, we're not going to force you to do anything. But I want to, at the end of the sermon, to create an opportunity for a response. To create an opportunity for you. Either you've been neglecting the gift of tongues in your life, or you're trusting that the Lord would give you the gift of tongues. Right. And I want you to get ready for it. Almost, this sermon is a bit like, I'm going to step on toes a bit, right? Because I don't want to offend anyone. The problem is, as I share these things, there's pride in us that wants to avoid. I don't want to just stand next to people and name a bunch of Japanese car brands, you know, Honda, Suzuki, Kawasaki. You know, so it feels awkward praying in tongues. Can you, for those of you that do pray in tongues, this is the first time you prayed in tongues, did you also feel like it's the most uncomfortable thing ever? It's just like, I look like an idiot. You know, I feel like an idiot. And I think the people next to me also think I'm an idiot. But we're going to need to take off our pride hat this morning and put it aside and say, Lord, do in me what you want. Do in me what you want. Now, why don't you just quickly put your hand on the person next to your shoulder. And just quickly pray this prayer. Lord, help this person with pride this morning. If you pray that, amen. If no one prayed for you, I'll pray for you. Lord, help these people with pride this morning. All right. I'm going to share a quick story. Last year, we had builders at our house. Not builders' warehouse. We had a couple of people that were building. And they were painting and they were plastering a couple of walls. And somewhere in that, they removed my Wi-Fi router's plug. And then I said, listen, no, don't do that. And they plugged it back in. And then in that process, we had a gardener in the garden busy doing garden things. And somewhere, I thought he nicked the fiber cable. Because he had like one of those big forks. It's like this long. He almost stabbed the guys in China through when he was digging. And I thought like, oh no, he nicked my fiber cable. That is a lot of effort that I now need to solve. And we were going away, came back. For 3 weeks, I did not have Wi-Fi. At your house. I know, anyone older than 40 is like, what do you mean? That's normal. We didn't grow up. Listen, if you work from home, you've got a smart TV. Nothing works if you don't have Wi-Fi. Switch your Wi-Fi off at home for 3 weeks and see. All of a sudden, you realize everything runs on that one little box. Now, everything stands still. We've got a tenant at our house that he works from home, and he constantly ran to me like, listen, what do I do? The company tells me I can't go and sit in a coffee shop because there's no secure servers and VPNs and all these things. I'm sorry. For 3 weeks, it was horrible. And I was on the phone with our ISP, our service providers, and I remember this one phone call. I got so frustrated. Because how can I wait for 3 weeks for you guys to send someone out? I remember getting so frustrated, I got teary. You know when you get so angry, you like start tearing up? I remember just putting the phone down because I need to be a Christian now, and I'm struggling. I was just so upset. It's not getting fixed. Eventually, after 3 weeks, frog food arrives there. They walk in. They look at the router. Like, oh, it just plugged into the wrong power outlet. And I remember just going, oh, I've been like so rude to you. I'm so sorry. It was my own mistake. I just was next to it. Anyway, and I was like, the problem was there was power. The lights were on, but it wasn't connected. There wasn't enough juice. And I think likewise in our Christian walk, the lights are on. The thing looks like it's working, but there's not enough juice. The power isn't there. And I think like the gift of tongues does that in us. It gives us this connection. It's like we connect to the cloud. There's my Gen Z joke for the morning. Right? It's like we connect with the Lord, and God has given us this gift that we could connect our spirits to Him. Right? Man, the Bible says the kingdom of God is not a matter of speech, but it's about of power. Man, there's a power in our lives. Are we seeing the power of God break through? It's not just, are the lights on and we're doing the right things. Is there enough power to give us the connection that we need? And in the gift of tongues, look, we're spending one whole Sunday on the gifts of tongues. And in the whole next of Sunday on the gifts of prophecy. We're in a series on the spiritual gifts. But Paul does the same in Corinthians 14, 1 Corinthians 14. He spends a whole chapter singling out the gift of tongues and the gift of prophecy. Right? He explains it, and we've explained it like, I think we're balancing it well enough, just like Paul even does. But all the gifts, all the spiritual gifts are given to you, well, given through you for others. Right? All the spiritual gifts is not for you. It's for the building up of the church. It's something we've constantly been saying. And that's why Paul singles out prophecy, because he's like, man, prophecy is the gift that builds up the church. But this morning, I want to speak about tongues, because it's the only gift that God gives. He says, this builds up you. It's this gift that God gives us that's supposed to build us up spiritually, individually. Like, if God gives me the gift of tongues, it builds me up. It's the only selfish gift there is. Right? And I wonder, guys, if God has given us this gift to help us grow, man, shouldn't we go for it? You, that was a close call. It's fine. Man, in marriages, sometimes all you want in your marriage is, can this other person just focus on themselves for a bit? Right? That, I mean, it is, because you're always going like, this person needs to change this. Now, tongues is the same. It's like, I just need to focus on myself for a bit, that I get built up, that I mature in the Lord, that I get connected with the Holy Spirit. Right? In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4, a person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally in the Lord. But the one who speaks a word of prophecy strengthens the entire church. You can keep that up. We're going to spend a lot of time on prophecy, so please ignore a lot of prophecy scriptures today. We're going to be doing it. I unfortunately do tongues, the one that's less impressive. Because prophecy is the real impressive one, because it's the thing that builds up everyone. And it's easier, you know, because you don't sound like you're speaking baby language. So I don't need to convince you that difficult. So, but the person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally in the Lord. It's the only gift that God gives that is just for you. That being said, I need to quickly unpack this concept of different kinds of tongues. Because you, as I'm speaking already, I can see some of you are going like, yeah, but what about this and what about that and all the things. And if tongues is only for me personally, why do some people have a gift to interpret tongues? And why does Paul in Corinth, in the book of Corinthians, why does Paul in the book of Corinthians say, if someone speaks in a tongue loudly, it needs to be interpreted? If you read 1 Corinthians 14, you kind of feel like Paul is a bit confused because he uses these concepts interchangeably, and he speaks about one thing and then he contradicts himself in the next sentence. And we need to remember, Paul is not busy writing a theological paper. He's not writing a manual to the church. You know, a lot of theologians argue that the book of 1 Corinthians is actually the second letter that he wrote to them. And there is a first letter that got lost, and it's not, don't worry about it. If God wanted it in the Bible, He would have. But already we see He's already in conversation with them. He has been in the church of Corinth for a couple of months and years, and He's in and out. There's a lot of context that they have. So when Paul writes to them this letter, he just briefly explains things quickly. And we need wisdom to understand, where does this fit in? So there's three different kinds of tongues. I'm going to unpack it for you to help you understand why sometimes it looks different and why we sometimes get confused. So the first one, tongues that are directed at people, actual languages. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 22, we read, so you see that speaking in tongues is a sign, not for believers, but for unbelievers. Prophecy, however, you see, he always brings in prophecy. That's Leonard's job next week. For the benefit of the believers, not for unbelievers. That's the first time he says, man, speaking in tongues is a sign for the unbelievers. And we actually see this in the book of Acts, chapter 2, at the day of Pentecost. I'm sure you guys all know your Bible really well, so maybe you can come and quote it. Anyone want to come and quote Acts 2? No one? The whole one, yes, yes. In Greek, you know. So what happens at the day of Pentecost is the Holy Spirit falls on the believers. And they all start speaking in tongues. But it was known actual languages. It wasn't the heavenly language. It was actual known languages. And no one needed to interpret everything, or they didn't need to interpret anything, because everyone, there was a bunch of people from all over the world in Jerusalem over that time. And what we see, the guys who start praying in tongues and speaking tongues, and everyone in their own language hears the gospel. We see the reverse of the Tower of Babel, where there was one language and everyone was doing something for themselves, and God comes and he scatters the world through many languages. And at the birth of the church, he brings everyone together through many languages. Right? It's something of him restoring us, but there's this gift of me speaking in an actual known language. That's like, imagine I start speaking French now. It's a God-enabled gift. I don't know French, I don't understand it, but I speak it. And someone is here and they're French, and they hear me share the gospel in their language. It's a sign for the unbelievers. You sit there like, whoa! And I've actually heard testimonies of this. I know of a lady that, I think she was in the Middle East. Maybe it's not 100% correct, but just get the gist of the story. She was somewhere in the Middle East, and she walked with her tour guide. And she just figured, listen, she felt the Lord, you know, just nudging her to just start speaking in tongues. She's in a foreign country. They're not going to know what her language is. Now, if you've ever been in a country where you don't speak their language, it feels like everyone is speaking in tongues. You have no idea what's going on anyway. So she just walked off the tour guide and she started speaking in tongues. She just figured he's just going to think she's speaking her own language. And the tour guide stops. His eyes go as big as this big, yeah? It was this big. It's like when you go fishing, yeah? Wayne, when you go fishing, yeah, I first was so good. You know, so, that tour guide's eyes went this big, and he just bolted. He ran away, and then she's like, "Oh, what?" She eventually found him. She's like, "What just happened?" And he's like, "Sorry, I got so freaked out. When you started speaking in my home language, and it was something down the lines of she called him out on his name, saying God wants you to come back to him. She didn't know any of it. She just, I'm going to speak in tongues. Yeah? And this guy gets saved." That is a sign to an unbeliever. And it's a specific gift. And that is not the norm. We don't need someone standing up now and speaking in French because we all understand English, right? There's no need for it. I don't need that sign to show you that God is real. We all kind of understand it. Anyway, so that's the first gift. We see this kind of tongue with a flavor of evangelism, right? It's almost like it's got a flavor of reaching out, but it's tongues. And some people might have that gift. The second kind of tongue is tongues to people needing interpreted, right? So that is, now we're getting in the realm of, let's call it heavenly languages, right? There are tongues that are heavenly languages. The word tongues by definition means, the gift of tongues means God enabling you to speak a language, right? But it does include this type of heavenly language. You read in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul writes, even though I might speak in the tongues of men and of angels, there's a sense of even there's a heavenly realm to this that we don't often understand. Do you know in the book of Revelation, it actually says that Jesus would give you a new name that only you and him understand. Like it's almost like there's a language that no one else will know, but it's like a connection that you and him have. But there's so much more to it. I actually heard a couple of theologians say they believe that not even demons can understand tongues. And I was like, yo, it's quite an interesting take. There's a sense of us directly connecting with God. Now, that, I'm not, this is a, you can throw it out there, do with that what you want. But there is this aspect of a heavenly language that needs to be interpreted. Not translated, interpreted. Look, because you see, translation is I hear what you're saying and I translate it. I type the words into Google. Imagine I take a voice note of Temba speaking tongues and I put it into ChatGPT, translate this for me. That is translating. I can ask ChatGPT, listen, interpret this for me. He's going to, you know, throw that little thing out there. Sorry, the network is down. Sure, buddy. But when it gets to this kind of gift, how this looks like, practically speaking. Often on a Sunday, we're busy worshiping, and you just feel like the Lord is telling you, you need to go and share a public tongue. And this is the problem that Paul addresses in 1 Corinthians 14 when he says only two or three people should speak in tongues and there needs to be an interpretation. Because what was happening in the church is Rufaro would stand up and just start shouting out in tongues, and then Aldo would stand up and just start shouting out in tongues, and then Temba, and it goes on, and no one interprets, and it's house. What's the point of this? Because now we're trying to use the gifts, but there's no follow through, there's no interpretation. So it looks cool, but thanks. What do I do with that now? But how it looks practically is you feel the Lord saying, hey, I want you to share a public tongue, meaning it's for the congregation. That often means over the mic, right? Otherwise, the people can't hear you. Or you're in your community and you lean over to your community group leader. Listen, I feel like God's given me a tongue to share for us publicly. Cool. Hey, guys, he feels he's got a tongue. Let's quickly take a couple of seconds. Let him share. And we're all going to pray and ask the Lord if he would give us an interpretation. So on a Sunday, someone would maybe share it. And we've seen it. You might have seen it if you've been part of us for a while. It does happen. Not as often as I think it should. This is one of the more neglected gifts because it's confusing, isn't it? It's strange. And this is where I said we need to put off our pride hats. Because I do believe God sometimes, I think God just created the gift of tongues to just jump over our minds. Just to get us into that position of, Lord, we don't understand all these things. If anyone knows me, I need to understand things. I get frustrated if I don't understand how something works. But I need to put myself in a position of, Lord, I don't always know exactly all these things work. You have decided this is how it works. And I fall into your ways. Now, someone might share a public tongue, and then what we'll do is, guys, this person has shared a tongue. Is there anyone with an interpretation? And there's also the spiritual gift of interpretation. And some of you, I know, have the gift, because there's a couple of people I know. If someone shares a tongue now, I know there's two or three people running to the front going like, I feel God said this. How that works, and I'm really trying to make it practical so you understand, because we often see someone speaking tongues, and then someone interpreting, and you kind of wonder, how does that work? Does that person just understand the language all of a sudden? No. It's like when that person prays in tongues, it's as if God just starts speaking to them and reveals to them what's on his heart. It's not through the actual words. It's just that starts to make sense in your spirit, and the Holy Spirit gives you the ability to understand what's trying to be said. That's why it's interpretation, not translation. Right? Because I can word for word translate something for you from a different language, but it doesn't always catch the heart of what it's trying to say. Does that make sense? That's where interpreting comes in. I interpret what's trying to be said. What's the intention of what's being said? And that happens with our spirit, like, this is what I feel God is doing. And then we weigh these things up, right? We will miss it. There's times where, but we need to be a people that try. Because if we're going to be afraid to be wrong, if we keep our pride hats on that tells us we must always be right, we must never make mistakes, isn't that what pride does? Right? Often I think we don't try anything because we're so prideful that we don't want to fail. And I'm included. Sometimes I just don't want to do anything because if I fail, I look like an idiot. And I don't want to look like an idiot. Some of you want to look like an idiot? Gordon, you want to? It's not fun looking like an idiot, man. Right, but take off the pride hat. Now, this gift, someone stands up, shares it, and someone interprets. This is almost like a prophetic word. Right? This is tongues with a flavor of prophecy. We stand and we're not sure what God wants us to do. Where are we going? We're struggling to pick up. And I think God just sometimes says, okay, well, let me just drop it into your spirits. Let me just jump over your intellect and share a tongue, and then someone brings it. And it's something we didn't even think of. And then God breaks in. Right? And we need to see more of it. Man, we've seen like crazy, cool testimonies of when that happens. And God just breaks in. Because you might stand here, I feel like God... You're getting a prophetic word from the Lord, but now you're afraid. You don't want to share it. Now God just starts to speak to Rufaro, for instance, and he starts sharing a tongue. Someone has the interpretation. It's the same thing. God just jumps over our unwillingness. Because it's easy for me to just share the tongue that I feel, and I don't know what I'm sharing, but God is trying to speak to us. Does that make sense? And when we do that, we start to see God moving in ways we never expected even. Like I said, this is a heavenly language that needs to be interpreted. It's someone sharing what's on God's heart. Again, I want to just reiterate, it's interpreted, not translated. If someone prays in tongues 10 words, and someone comes with an interpretation, and it was 12 words. Honestly, I had a guy come to me after church once and say, listen, I think that was fake. Because I was counting. When that guy prayed in tongues, it was about 10 words. And then when this lady gave an interpretation, it was about 15 to 16 words. And that's obviously not right. I'm like, that's not a bless you. That's not the point. It's catching what's on God's heart and sharing it. Okay. I'm just going to settle you on that. And then the last one, this is more the one I want to hammer on, is tongues as prayer to God. This is like a heavenly language that we pray, and this is the one that builds us up. So the tongues as a sign reaches people. Tongues for interpretations builds up the church. But tongues as personal prayer build me. That's the one that God gives us that build ourselves up. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. And notice this. Paul just said, tongues is a sign to unbelievers. Here he says, for if your gift is the ability to speak in tongues, you will be talking to God, but not to people, since they won't be able to understand you. You will be speaking by the power of the Spirit, but it will all be mysterious. Other translation says, you're speaking the mysteries of the Spirit. And that word mystery, it carries this connotation of something that almost not even the angels know. It's something of, with the, you can go and deep dive into this. It's something of, imagine the Trinity speaks to one another. Right? And then when we speak into praying tongues, we utter mysteries. It's almost like we become part of that conversation. Right? Let me illustrate that. Temba, Kurtz, and Reinhard, can you guys just come quickly stand here? So just stand in this corner, make a little group, and then just quickly speak softly to one another. Right? They're uttering mysteries, because none of you know what they're speaking about. They're speaking nonsense, don't worry. But when we pray in tongues, it's like we become part of the conversation of God. It's like we pick up what He's busy doing. We pick up what He's busy speaking to us. Right? You guys can grab your seats. If you want to walk in prophecy, when I want to prophesy over someone, what I often would firstly do is just start praying in tongues for a bit. Because I need to become part of the conversation in heaven. I need to pick up what God is doing. I need to pick up in my spirit what He is saying over these people, over my own life. Does that make sense? And it's mysteries. It is mysteries. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15, what am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praises with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. You can keep that up. Do you notice he's saying, man, I will pray in tongues. I will pray with my spirit. It's when my spirit connects to God. My Wi-Fi signal is going out to the Lord, and I'm connecting with Him. But then he will also pray with his mind. But now he also said, I will sing with my spirit, and I will also sing with my mind. Folks, that's why sometimes we should be singing in tongues at times. It's just our spirit just singing praises to God and our heart starts to get in line. And I know a lot of you sit here like, what is the point? It's our spirit connecting with God. And how much of what God does in our life, we just look at it like, Lord, why? It's because He wants to. Because He has decided. I'm not God. He is. And I do His ways. Let me answer a couple of questions you can take it off. Thank you, Tingy. Let me answer a couple of questions that's probably already popping up, hopefully. Question number one, can all pray in tongues? Because this is a big divisive point within the global church. You've got churches that say, yes, everyone can and must pray in tongues. And you've got other people on the other extreme saying, no, you get one or two at best that can pray in tongues. Those are kind of the two extremes. And I believe that not every believer has the gift of actual languages as a sign to unbelievers. That I think very few people have. I also don't believe that the gift of speaking in tongues publicly to be interpreted is given to everyone. That only, I think, certain individuals have. Because again, we'll share maybe one or two. There's certain individuals, and you'll notice it. As an elder, you know. I know if certain people come to the front, I always wonder, are they going to say they've got a tongue now? Because they've got that gift. There's a track record of them sharing and there's interpretation. Not everyone has that. But when it gets to this personal prayer language, I do believe that Paul implies that all can pray with their spirits. And even if it's not, I would almost want to leave it a bit gray. I'm not going to say, guys, you all can and you all must. I think we all can, Because it's this gift that God gives you to build yourself up. Why does he only give the three of you the gift that you guys, You see what I'm saying? It's like, man, and Paul uses the word, I pray with my spirit. It's like my spirit starts to pray. That I think is more open for all of us. But, and hear me, please, but, even if it does not work like that, what does the Bible clearly teach us? Eagerly desire the spiritual gifts. In 1 Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 12, but also in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 39. So, dear brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy and don't forbid speaking in tongues. You can just keep that up. Paul urges us in the start of 1 Corinthians 14 and in 1 Corinthians 12 at the end of it. He says in 1 Corinthians 12, eagerly desire the greater gifts. And then he starts speaking about prophecy and tongues. Implying there's spiritual gifts, then there's tongues and prophecy. Eagerly desire it. Our heart's posture, what the Bible wants us to do, regardless if we can all or not, is our heart's posture is, God, I want to. I desire. I'm willing, Lord. I'm willing. I want this. And you, I love how it ends 1 Corinthians 14. So, dear brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy, which you should be eager to prophesy by next week. And don't forbid speaking in tongues. I wonder how many of us are forbidding ourselves from speaking in tongues. It's easy to say, yeah, I'm not forcing anyone not to speak in tongues. It's, but are you keeping yourself? Is your heart's posture, I'm forbidding myself to go there? And believe me, I understand why. Because you've been, we've preached about tongues, you come to the front, we lay hands on you, we pray for you, and nothing happens. Keep earnestly desiring. Maybe it is one of those things that only a few people have. Maybe it is that God hasn't given you the gift. That doesn't matter. Keep earnestly desiring. That's our heart's posture. That's why I want to leave this can all speaking tongues slightly gray. Maybe. I think maybe. But it's okay if it doesn't work like that. Because what's clear is our heart is to desire it. And our heart is not to forbid ourselves, not to keep ourselves away from it. Have you eagerly desire, man? What, think about that word. Have you seen a single guy? Have you seen a single guy liking a girl? comes to church, doesn't greet you, twing, straight, you know? He's eagerly desiring to connect with this person. When I was making moves with my wife, when I was making moves, I used to lead the worship team. Right? And for some reason, we kept being scheduled together. It just worked out that way. That we were on the band every time together. Luckily, Albert and Teresa's married, so that doesn't happen anymore. Right? Man, because I was eagerly desiring to spend time. I looked for ways to pull it off. That's an eagerly desiring posture. Eagerly desiring isn't, yeah, if God wants me to have the gift, I will have it. Now, if God wants to, that's not eagerly desiring, that is apathy. Just saying, eh. This is where, I know I'm stepping on a bit of toes, because now you're sitting with disappointment. You're sitting with hurt. You're sitting with, but I've tried. Keep trying. Keep desiring. God still loves you even if you don't pray in tongues. That gets to my next point. Are you less of a Christian if you don't pray in tongues? No. Tongues isn't a qualification for leadership. Man, there's elders in Joshua that don't pray in tongues. Because it's not. Maybe it's at the disposal of everyone, maybe not. But that's not the measuring stick of your spirituality. And you need to know that. I want to set you free this morning that, man, it doesn't matter if you pray in tongues or not. God loves you and he wants a relationship with you. And you can. I'm just saying there's this potential of this gift that God is putting on the table. Desire it. And I almost want to say, don't let me catch you looking at, if you pray in tongues, don't let me catch you looking at someone that does not pray in tongues going like, I can pray in tongues. And so, it's like, how do you know? It's like that joke, how do you know someone was in gray? You know, it's like, how do you know someone speaks in tongues? They tell you. It's kind of the same thing. Don't go there. And we don't flex our spirituality by I can pray in tongues. And I know some of you have possibly been hurt before. Because people either forced you, or they made you guilt, they guilt tripped you into it. Or they flexed all their, they every time they're next to you, they're speaking tongues very loudly that you must now hear it. Be set free from that and forgive and don't forbid yourself from going there again. Eagerly desire. How do I know it's real? How do you know a prophetic word is real? You go for it and see. Right? I can't give you a little manual that if it sounds like this and if it goes on like this and if you feel like this, then it's real. If you pray in tongues and you tell me, I don't feel like it's real, that is not a good measuring stick, whether it's real or not. Because sometimes I share a prophetic word and I don't know. You know, I don't know if it's real. I don't know if it's from the Lord or not. Huh? Sometimes you pray for someone for healing and you don't know if God wants to heal the person or you don't know if it's going to work, you know. Your feelings don't really matter when it gets to whether it's real or not. What matters? What does Jesus teach us? Fruit. Fruit matters. I want to encourage you, if you doubt, is, you know, yeah, they prayed for me and I can pray in tongues, but I'm not sure if it's real or not. Set a timer every day, 5 minutes, at your home, pray in tongues for a month. Get back to me and tell me if it's real or not. Do it. Look back and see if there's fruit. Have you been built up spiritually? And I can guarantee you, if you do that every day, well, 5 or 10 minutes, you'll look back and say, like, man, it's like I shifted gears this month. I can't pinpoint my finger to it. But it's something of me being more connected. I'm more aware. I'm following the Lord almost a bit better because I'm being built up. Why do some people just say the same word over and over? This is a common one, eh? But how can this tongues be real? Because this guy just says, Honda Suzuki, Honda Suzuki, Honda Suzuki. have you been in a prayer meeting and the guy next to you goes, like, Honda Suzuki, Honda Suzuki. And you're going like, yes, bro. I mean, I think the Lord has heard you. You don't need to keep saying this. This is not going to work, but I should actually let my son Aiden come forward. But you don't need to bring him. It's not going to work. But I should. And then give him the mic. Huh? He can't speak yet. But let him speak. Best case scenario, it's one baby noise, one word. This is the way kids learn. They start speaking one word, maybe two words. And parents know they can communicate a lot with one or two words. Isn't it? They have one way of saying the same word, they've got another way of saying the same word, and the father knows what he's trying to be communicated. So even if it's the same language, I'm fine with my son only saying, you know, papa for the first couple of months. It needs to be papa though. Can't be mama. It needs to be, you know. I'm fine with him saying one or two words for quite a while because he's growing, man. He needs to develop that. He needs to develop like a vocabulary. In Romans 8, verse 26, and I'm almost done. Romans 8, verse 26, we read, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our distress, for we don't even know what we should pray for, nor how we should pray. But the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us, believers, in harmony with God's own will. And I think with tongues, it works the same. We can pray in tongues and the Holy Spirit enables us to say much more than we're actually saying. Our spirit cries out for more than words can actually explain. If you don't know what to pray for, if you feel stuck, just pray in tongues. Because there's something happening. It's like the Holy Spirit carries our prayers to the Father and say, this is what he means. It's like the Holy Spirit sits there, interprets your prayers for you, takes it to the Father and says, this is what he means. This is what he's asking for. This is what he's contending for. Don't get stuck on, just go for it.